Please turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. And to introduce our lesson, we want to read verses 16 through 19. Genesis chapter 18, beginning at verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. On the front of our bulletin for today is a statement I believe that's especially appropriate for Father's Day. That statement is, fathers who follow God point their children in the right direction. In our lesson, we want to observe from the scriptures how Abraham followed God, and in doing so, he pointed his son Isaac in the right direction. I love to study about Abraham. So much of the Bible is about him. He's a very important person in God's scheme of redemption. But he had a tremendous influence upon his son Isaac. And while Abraham was devoted to following God, he set the proper example for Isaac. And I've often wondered, was Isaac intimidated because of who his father was? You know, in the Bible, Abraham has the distinction of being called the friend of God, and that's spelled with a capital F. Now, the Bible teaches how we can be friends of God. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So by complying with God's will, we are his friends. But Abraham has the distinction of being called the friend of God. I used to wonder, did that intimidate Isaac? I believe Isaac learned some powerful lessons from his father. And I have to admire Isaac for following the example that his father set before him. Well, according to the statement that we read a few moments ago in Genesis chapter 18, especially in verse 19, God knew something very special about Abraham. God knew that Abraham would follow him, and in so doing, he would be pointing Isaac in the right direction. Let's read that statement again. For I know him, this is the Lord speaking about Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Now at that time, Isaac had not been born. But God knew that information about his servant Abraham. Now there's an event recorded in Genesis 22 that shows that God's knowledge of Abraham was accurate. What God said in Genesis 18 and verse 19 that we've already read a couple of times is affirmed in something that we read about in Genesis 22. Let's read the first 14 verses. And this is a very heart-touching account. And it's mentioned a number of times in the Bible. And we want to observe from what happened on this occasion that Abraham did indeed follow God. And in doing so, he pointed Isaac in the right direction. Genesis 22, let's start at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now in Genesis 18 and verse 19, God said that he knew that Abraham would follow him, and in so doing, he would be pointing Isaac in the right direction. These verses that we just read from chapter 22 show that that is indeed the case. What God knew about Abraham was quite accurate, wasn't it? Well, these matters apply especially to fathers on Father's Day, but the principles we'll be looking at actually relate to all of us. Because as we follow God, we are leading others in the right direction. You see, we all have influence. And sometimes, there have been a few times when I've heard some people say that they didn't feel that they had any influence. Nothing could be further from the truth. We all have influence. Someone is observing our behavior. And as we follow God, we're helping to lead others in the right direction. So while the direct point that we're making from our lesson relates especially to fathers, these principles actually relate to all of us, because as we follow God, we're actually leading others in the right direction. Well, to fully appreciate what happened, we first need to point out that Abraham waited a very long time for Isaac to be born. That's a very important point that we need to be aware of to appreciate how Abraham did indeed follow God. As a matter of fact, Abraham is introduced to us in Genesis chapter 11. According to chapter 11 and verse 26, Abraham's father's name was Terah, and Abraham had two brothers. Their names were Nahor and Haran. We learn from chapter 11 and verse 29 that Abraham's wife was Sarai. That was before her name was changed to Sarah. But at this point, according to verse 30, Sarai was barren, that is, she had no children. So as we are introduced to Abraham, we know something about his family. We know his father's name. We know the names of his brothers. And his wife is identified. But at this point, Abraham had no children. Now there's some very important information given to us in chapter 12. Let's start at verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now in verse 2 of chapter 12, God said that Abraham would be the father of a great nation. Now at this time, Abraham had no children. How old was he? We learn from verse 4 that Abraham was 75 years old. To put that in perspective, he would have been 6 years older than I am. That kind of puts things down so you can really appreciate them. Abraham was 75 years old when he was told by God that he would be the father of a great nation. But at that point, he had no children. Now, God repeated that same promise to Abraham several times. Look at chapter 13 and verse 16. Chapter 13 and verse 16, this is God speaking to Abraham, And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Chapter 15 and verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. So God used several illustrations to indicate that Abraham would have many descendants. The number of descendants he would have can be compared to the dust of the earth or the number of stars up in the sky. That's another way of saying Abraham would have many descendants. But at this point, he had no children. Now let's fast forward to Abraham being 99 years old. And God spoke to him again about having children. Look at chapter 17. Let's read verses 1 and 2. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. 24 years have passed. Now, of course, we understand that Ishmael has been born, but he was not the son of promise. But Abraham did not have any descendants that would be the chosen ones. 24 years have passed since God first promised to Abraham that he would have a large number of descendants. Now, let's look at verse 19 of chapter 17. God revealed some specific information to Abraham. Chapter 17 and verse 19. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Sarah would be the mother of the son of promise. Now, she was 10 years younger than Abraham. How old was he at this point? 99 years old. That would have made Sarah 89. And God informed Abraham that Sarah would be the mother of his son. Now, as we've already pointed out from chapter 18 and verse 19, God knew something very special about Abraham that he would command his children to walk in his ways. In other words, he would be pointing his children in the right direction. Now let's go to chapter 21. We will see that Sarah eventually gave birth to Isaac. And notice how old Abraham was at the time. Chapter 21, let's start at verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Now, we're emphasizing the fact that Abraham waited a long time for Isaac to be born. God informed Abraham when he was 75 years old that he would be the father of a great nation. He'd have a large number of descendants. After 25 years, Isaac was finally born. Can you imagine the love that Abraham had for his son Isaac? After waiting all of those years for Isaac to be born, when he was born and when he was weaned, those were happy occasions, and Abraham celebrated. I want you to notice that he followed God's plan when he had Isaac circumcised on the 8th day. That was God's plan for his people, and Abraham complied. But I can just imagine how Abraham felt toward Isaac. I've mentioned this before, but it's been a while. I can remember when my dad was up in years, he would enjoy sitting and just looking at his family. Without saying a word. Sometimes I'd be on the sideline and I'd watch him. And his eyes would go from, especially his grandchildren, would go from one to the other. And he'd have a smile on his face. That was a very happy occasion for him. That was a very pleasant experience. I've often wondered if Abraham spent some time just sitting and watching Isaac. And reflecting upon how much he loved him. He'd waited a long time for Isaac to be born. Suffice it to say, Abraham loved his boy. But then let's turn to what we've already read about in Genesis 22. We want to look at what happened on this occasion. In doing so, we want to make some observations about how Abraham followed God, and in so doing, he pointed Isaac in the right direction. There are so many observations to be made from what happened on this occasion. We could spend a long time, but we want to try to limit our conversation or our study to several very important matters. And we want to first notice 3 practical matters that Isaac learned as he observed the behavior of his dad. Abraham followed God, and in so doing, he pointed Isaac in the right direction. First, Abraham taught Isaac to fear God. Now, sometimes the Bible uses the word fear in a negative sense. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. That's dread or anxiety. But the Bible does use the word fear in a positive sense. To illustrate, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. It's the whole duty of man to fear God and keep his commandments. Well, Isaac was taught by his dad to fear God. Do you remember after Abraham was refrained from taking the life of Isaac? That angel from heaven said, "Now I know that you fear God." God gained some very special knowledge about Abraham. Now, he already knew that Abraham would train his children in the right ways. But Abraham was about to take the life of his son that would be required in presenting him as a burnt offering. But that voice from heaven said, "Now I know that you fear God." I believe Isaac heard that. I know Abraham did. I believe Isaac heard it as well. Abraham taught Isaac to trust God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 for just a moment and consider how trust is involved in what took place. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's start at verse 17. Now, this is the great faith chapter of the Bible, and we would certainly expect much to be written about Abraham, and there is a lot written about Abraham. He's been called the father of the faithful. Well, we would expect him to be in the great faith chapter of the Bible. Notice how what we've already read about is recorded in this chapter. Hebrews 11 and verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "That in Isaac shall thy seed be called," accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now, Abraham had confidence in God's promises. He knew that God's blessings would be carried out through Isaac. And he trusted God to the point that even if he took Isaac's life, somehow God was going to raise him up. By the way, I remember this point was made in a lesson I heard many years ago, and it's always stuck with me. When Abraham went to the place of worship, he had some young men with him. But when he actually came to the place of sacrifice, he told those young men to stay there. He said, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Abraham trusted God to the point that he knew that Isaac would come back with him. Somehow God was going to work all of this out because God had said that some very special promises would be carried out through his son Isaac. Well, Abraham trusted God, and in so doing, he was pointing Isaac in that direction, to always trust God. Abraham taught Isaac to fear God. Abraham taught Isaac to trust God. But there's another practical matter that we need to mention. Abraham taught Isaac that faith includes obedience to God's will. Let's notice how James emphasize this in his letter. Let's turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, and let's begin at verse 21. Now, in the context, James was writing about the relationship that exists between faith and works. That is, faith and works of obedience. And notice how he included Abraham. James 2 and verse 21, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." Now, Abraham, of course, was following God, and in so doing, He was pointing Isaac in the right direction. He taught Isaac a very important lesson, that faith in God includes submission to his will. It's not enough just to say, I believe in God. As a matter of fact, in James chapter 2, James says that the demons even believe, they go so far as to tremble. Of course, they don't comply with God's will. I think it's interesting, though, that when Jesus told them what to do, they did it, but they didn't have a choice. You see, men do. We love God, and in so doing, we comply with his will. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, Abraham was pointing Isaac in the right direction by showing him that faith includes obedience to God's will. I'm amazed at the faith of Abraham. I don't have a son, but I was a son. I know how my daddy felt about me. And he would have done anything to spare my life. I'm confident of that. He would have done that for all of his children. But Abraham submitted to God's will to the point that he was about to take the life of his son. But he trusted that God was going to work everything out. And God did work everything out. Well, these are three practical matters that Isaac learned as a result of observing his father's behavior. Abraham followed God, and in so doing, he pointed Isaac in the right direction. Let's be more specific now. We talked about three practical matters. Let's consider some specific matters that relate to worship. We just spent several weeks going through a series of lessons about worship based on what Jesus said in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, when he was speaking to the Samaritan woman. But these are some practical matters relating to worship that Abraham taught his son Isaac. Well, for one thing, in pointing Isaac in the right direction, Abraham taught Isaac that God determines the manner in which he's to be worshiped. One point that we emphasized in our lessons about worship is that God seeks to be worshiped by true worshipers. That's John chapter 4 and verse 23. Jesus said that the Father seeketh such to worship him. If you look very carefully at the statement, he was referring to true worshipers. God determines the manner in which he is to be worshiped. We don't do that. We want to comply with God's will, and that's what Abraham did. Now, God told Abraham what to do in Genesis 22 and verse 2. He told him to take his son Isaac. By the way, God knew how much Abraham loved Isaac. Get thee into the land of Moriah. That's very specific, isn't it? And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. God told Abraham what to do. And Abraham did not object. And he did not tell God what he was willing to do. You see, one item of acceptable worship is worshiping in truth. Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Worshiping in truth means that we comply with God's will as it is revealed today in the New Testament. God told Abraham how to worship, and Abraham obeyed. Now, Abraham was pointing Isaac in the right direction. I think it's interesting that Isaac said, here's the wood. Here's the fire. Where's the lamb for a burnt offering? I wonder how many times Isaac had seen his father present animal sacrifices unto God. It has been said, and rightly so, that you could follow Abraham's trail from the altars that he built. Read about Abraham sometime in Genesis and see how many times it's said that he built an altar. No doubt Isaac had seen his father present animals to God as sacrifices on many occasions. So Isaac had observed something about worship. He knew that there had to be a lamb. But I've also tried to put myself in Abraham's position and wonder how he felt when his boy looked up at him and asked that question. I don't know how I would have answered. I admire Abraham's answer. He said, "The Lord will provide." I've learned to appreciate that statement. The Lord will provide, and the Lord did. Well, one item of acceptable worship is worshiping in truth. That's a very important matter that Abraham taught Isaac. And as we continue looking at some practical matters relating to worship, Abraham taught Isaac that God does not accept substitutes in worship. Now, Abraham was over 100 years old, but he did not try to pass on his responsibilities to Sarah or one of his servants. He could have tried that, but Abraham had sufficient faith. He knew that was not right. God told him what to do, and he complied with it. I think it's interesting that Abraham did not try to offer Ishmael instead of Isaac. Ishmael, by this time, was growing up, and his birth led to a lot of heartache. Abraham could have tried to offer Ishmael instead of Isaac, but God said, "No, take Isaac, your son that you love, and offer him for a burnt offering." You see, God does not accept substitute forms of worship. He reveals to us how we're to worship him, and we must not go beyond his revealed will and try to offer substitute forms of worship. God speaks, we comply. Another matter that relates to worship, Abraham taught Isaac that worshiping God involves paying a price. Now, you know, whenever Abraham presented an animal sacrifice to God, he gave up something. Now, Abraham had many animals in his herds and in his flocks, but whenever he presented an animal unto God as a sacrifice, he gave up something. Well, when he offered Isaac, he gave up something that was far more precious than any animal. I'm amazed at the great faith of Abraham. He was willing to give his son as a sacrifice to God. Now, David made a statement about the price of worship in 2 Samuel 24, in verse 24. He said, "I will not present unto God something that costs me nothing." He wanted to buy some materials for sacrifice because he had sinned against God. And the man who owned the materials was willing to give them to David. David said, "I'm not going to present to God something that costs me nothing." So he paid the full price for it. Now, that's a very important observation from David. But Abraham taught that years earlier to Isaac. Worshiping God involves paying a price. Another practical matter relating to worship is that Abraham taught Isaac to take worship seriously. You know, worship is not a time for entertainment. And we need to remember that another item of acceptable worship is worshiping in spirit, that is, with the proper attitude and disposition. Jesus said so in John 4 and verse 24. Well, Abraham taught Isaac to take worship seriously. But there's another matter that we want to briefly mention, and this is based on Genesis 22, starting at verse 15. Abraham taught Isaac that worship is accompanied by a blessing. Genesis 22, and verse 15. Now, we've already read about what took place. But this is after Abraham has presented the ram to God as a sacrifice. Verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. God informed Abraham that he was going to bless him abundantly because of what he had done. Isaac was there to take all of that in. Suffice it to say, Abraham followed God, and in so doing, he pointed Isaac in the right direction. Worship is accompanied by a special blessing. Well, we've looked briefly at Abraham. We've talked about him and we've observed what he did. But I believe as a result of studying about Abraham, we're able to appreciate the fact that worship is a serious responsibility. But we're also reminded that God has given, especially to fathers, a very important responsibility. Let's look at Ephesians 6 and read verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Now, in the previous chapter, we're able to read about the responsibilities of husbands and wives. As chapter 6 begins, we're able to read about the responsibilities of children. But then in verse 4, notice that fathers are specifically mentioned. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I believe Abraham and his example help us to appreciate that serious responsibility that God has given to fathers. I'm encouraged that I think some are beginning in our world today to realize that fathers play an important role in God's plan for the family. At least I'm beginning to hear a few people come to that realization. And I think to myself, God has revealed that to us a long time ago. It's been right here all along. But now some are beginning to realize that fathers do play an important role in the home. Abraham helps us to realize the serious responsibility that God has given to fathers to bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Suffice it to say, Abraham was a great father to Isaac. And do you realize that we can be his spiritual descendants today? Let's look at Galatians chapter 3 and read a few verses. Galatians 3, let's start at verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Way back in Genesis 12, God said that through Abraham, all the nations or all the families of the earth would be blessed. That was a clear reference to the coming of Christ. It's interesting as you trace the Lord's lineage, goes right back to Abraham. a matter of fact, that's where the Gospel of Matthew begins, with this genealogy. And then in Luke's account, we also find Abraham mentioned. We can be Abraham's spiritual descendants by getting into Christ. And the Bible teaches that we're baptized into Christ. And when we're baptized in him, we put him on. At that point, we become Abraham's spiritual descendants. Wouldn't it be a blessing to be a descendant of someone called the friend of God? Well, we can enjoy that blessing, and the Bible teaches us how we can do that. You might be wondering, how in the world can I, as a Gentile, become a spiritual descendant of Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation? Well, it is through Christ that we become his spiritual descendants, not his physical descendants, but his spiritual descendants. And then we can look to his example. We can read about what he accomplished in the Old Testament. And we can be pointed in the right direction. Well, if you'd like to respond to the invitation, we'd invite you to do so as we stand to sing the first verse of the song that's been selected.